the writer's lot is not a happy one. I think that's generally accepted, particularly by writers. But also, of course, by readers who keep reading books where the writer makes his hero a writer. Gives him a rough old time, too. What with wine, women, and critics, and never daring to look at his latest in the public library in case it hasn't any date stamps on the front, his life is so hard that he can often end up by taking it. That's usually in about chapter 29, leaving one more for him to become posthumously famous. Very ironic, boo-hoo, how terribly sad the end. Printed in Great Britain by Bazooli and Plunger Limited, West Drayton. However, this doesn't mean I'm not interested in the rubbish turned out by my fellow craftsmen. Curiously enough, or not curiously at all, actually, because it's what I've been working up to, I was discussing their methods only the other night, and was singularly well placed to do so, as I was in bed at the time with a rather attractive lady novelist. 5'2", eyes of blue, and her hair done up in a sort of bag. I don't know, by the way, if you're a member of the Magnolia Badminton Fan Club. I'm what you might call an honorary member myself. It's a fringe benefit that comes with being married to her. Perhaps I should have made that clear before.
It wasn't prawns, it was pawns.
Well, you know the one I mean. Last year, did you write it?
Not Prawns of Love, no.
Oh, did I say that?
As you well know, Pawns of Love, yes. You're not going to start reading at this time of night.
I was just looking for something in here, talking of titles. Now then, what we have here, in a very alarming publication someone left in the train, and they certainly knew which side their onions were buttered, because it's called The Bookshop Weekly.
Bread.
And raises the whole question of whether we've been writing the wrong books all this time.
It isn't onions people have their sides buttered.
And it's also very frightening in the matter of... Now, what's she umphing about? In the matter of titles. For instance, Biochemical Speleology and the Sedimentation of Shale. How about that? A bit long, but it's good. Ah, now this one's crisper. Crystals as Semiconductors. Or here is a real winner, this one. Anthropogenics, the whole thing in a word. Wonderful. Now, what I'm asking is, when did your publisher... or mine, for that matter, splash us on a full-page ad instead of letting us creep up behind our public and catch them off guard. Hmm? Are you listening, darling? Don't miss Gerald C. Potter's Corpses by Moonlight. Magnolia Badminton does it again. Darling? Diana? Oh, well, I see. She's done it again.
In that case, I suppose we might as well call it a night.
Lights out.
It says here that an Eastbourne man found £800 in an old yachting cap.
Turn it up.
I'm only reading what it says.
Turn up the radio.
Oh, right.
£800 in an old yachting cap. Still doesn't know where it came from. Mr. Dipper, whose father is an ex-mayor of Worthing...
Oh, not Radio Brighton. Not a breakfast. Too exciting.
I didn't know it was on that.
That section of the market was buoyant. While sugar futures fell heavily on nervous long liquidations and stop-loss selling.
My God!
Soybeans were up 25.5 at 750.
Oh, that's better. What else have you got?
Copper wire bars firming from gains in gold.
I think that's all.
No music.
Just a minute.
No music.
Would you like the police cars?
No, I don't think so.
Right.
I mean, if you would.
Not really.
Do you want something to wrap the kippers in?
Wrap the what?
You're a bit slow on the uptake, compared with some. Don't need to ask her twice. I mean the kipper bits. After she's had her bits. Shut up. Because there's a very useful supplement here today. A strong wrapping supplement on the thinking processes of subtropical reptiles. It raises points that have worried me for ages. Can a lizard sense human sadness, it says. Isn't that just what we've always wanted to know? Haven't you often wondered... Hey, where are you? I am telling you things.
As long as she eats her bits. Last time, she left a little face on the back step.
Yeah.
Post here. Two for you, one for me.
One for you and two for me. Mine are bills, as you can see. What's yours? A lovely offer of a free bread knife if you buy a Westminster chiming egg timer. It appears that these lizards, also the occasional turtle if intellectually bright, and in many cases birds of outstanding intelligence...
This is the funniest coincidence I ever heard of.
Funnier than that cave in Crete where the man pinched your bottom in the dark and turned out to be our ironmonger.
You know what we were saying last night?
Before or after you went to sleep?
Both.
About biochemical speleology?
About are we writing the wrong sort of books.
Ah.
And about prawns.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning, lizards, turtles and birds. I don't believe this. It says, Dear Miss Badminton, listen, it's incredible.
Quite believable so far.
It's my publishers, listen.
Mm-hmm.
Looking ahead to our next year's titles, we notice a probable shirt fall in certain, I think they mean short fall.
Unless they're going porno. Is there any more coffee?
No. It occurs to us, therefore, that should you consider breaking new ground.
We grown-up writers tend to take a bit of a lofty attitude to the children's book market. Economical to write, of course. It takes me about 80,000 words to get from my first chapter, entitled A Thud at Midnight, to the last one, The Inspector Explains. You can do a kid's book in about 60 words, from what I've seen. Five to a page. My gracious, said Mr. Gollybottle. That's page one. Page two is for the artist. A terrific picture of a weasel in a baseball cap and red plush knickers. Page three, and it's you again. It was Mrs. Gollybottle's birthday. And so forth. Many happy returns, or what we all call in the profession, royalties. I have to confess, though, that I was pretty surprised when Diana, by no means unknown for her steaming romances among the well-heeled jet-set, decided without delay to knock off an epic for the little ones, thus filling the gap in her publisher's shirtfall. I don't say I tried to talk her out of it. We'd been married for 15 years, but it seemed only friendly to warn her of certain little difficulties ahead.
We want a longer stick. I can't reach him with this one.
I can reach him from this side. Give it to me. Right. Now. Ah.
Steady. Now you've frightened him under the water, Lily.
Daft twit. Come out.
Shush. They're very neurotic, goldfish. They get heart attacks. Come along out. Come out, Gordon.
Darling, you know what I was thinking?
You don't like the name? Gordon the goldfish?
No. I was only...
You have to have, what is it? You know, words starting with the same letters. Obliteration.
A brave try. No, I was going to say, do you think it's a good hero, a goldfish? I mean, the more you study their habits... Look, he's showing a leg. A fin.
Yeah, that's Gertrude.
Oh, my mistake, sorry.
Study their habits, yes.
Well, the more you see problems putting them into hats and trousers.
Hey, I can see his nose. Swiggle nearer the ant's eggs.
Especially trousers.
More to the left, near Gertrude.
Ah.
Too much. Remember their hearts.
Sorry.
Gordon.
I just think you're making it hard for yourself to study them. It's not as if they came on windowsills like birds. Anyway, the weather's going.
Gordon, come out. I'm having birds as well. You can't have all goldfishes. Children get bored with all goldfishes.
It's raining.
I'm having a chaffinch.
Good.
A Charlie chaffinch.
Good God.
What?
Good. Come out, you little bleeder.
Now look what you've done. They've both gone back under.
Well, I didn't do it. They've just gone in out of the wet. Very sensible. I know which side their aunt's eggs are buttered. Come on, Gertrude.
It happened that about this time I was in the middle of my last, or The Inspector Explains, chapter. Never an easy task for the detective writer. I often find with my inspector that he can't explain. This is all right for the television dramatist. He just gives up and lets them roll the credits. Yeah, it's different with books. Readers can turn back to the thud at midnight, which they've wondered about ever since it's thudded, and if your inspector never mentions it, they can get nasty. So my thoughts were very much concentrated on the plothiness of plots generally, and what a cracking headache they could be, when it struck me that this was something else Diana might like a word on. From an older and wiser man, if that's the expression I'm after. I was down the garden in my author's secluded Canadian spruce writing hut at the time, and it was a mere matter of moments to lift my electric telephone extension and give of my bounty.
not nearly a badminton's residence.
Put her on.
Who are you?
Me.
Gerald?
I'll see if he's in.
I'll hold on.
No, I'll try and get him.
Thank you. What do you mean, you fool? I didn't ring.
Well, he's just coming.
The Gerald C. Potter Group, yes.
Oh, bloody idiot.
Good morning, my darling. I was just thinking about Gordon and Gertrude.
Were you?
Are you all right?
I don't know yet. Thinking what?
Hmm? Oh, yes. Now, you do realise, Diana, that you'll need an entirely new plot for these fish and so on. The chaffinches and the like.
Are you going to say something?
I think I am, yes. I mean, as I see it, you can't use the old one again this time. Fish meets fish, falls in love, befriended by wealthy but designing woodpecker with a private plane. Are you with me?
Not entirely. Would a woodpecker want one?
I'm not with you.
A plane. Birds are planes.
Yeah, well, yes, of course. Oh, I mean, naturally, yes, absolutely right, absolutely right. No, this is only hypothetical. I mean, I'm simply saying, look, it is only an example, damn it. Make it a wealthy but designing hedgehog.
I'm having a hedgehog, as it happens.
Yeah, oh, good, well, there you are, then. Now, the point I'm making...
Hubert Hedgehog.
Hell's teeth. My point is, you will have to ditch the old plots, do you see? I mean, it's not like people.
It is.
Is it?
They are people, for my little child readers. They're goldfish people, chaffinch people, hedgehog people. People with real joys and sorrows. Laughing, weeping, living and loving.
Ah, now that is just it. Now, there is no way, as I see it, that you can have Gertrude Goldfish and Charlie Chaffinch in bed together. Which is your usual plot about halfway through chapter four. Your whole thinking has to be new, my darling. Fresh approaches, different action. Just take the advice of an older and wiser man.
Who would that be?
Never mind. Just put yourself in the position of the younger reader, who isn't even blowing his own nose yet, who knows nothing of the ramifications and sexual math.
And the time is nearly 8:05. Our concert this evening, a modern work for solo percussion and three flutes, comes from Bulgaria.
Flute off back there.
Quite right. Bulgar off.
I'm thirsty again.
Well, I will stay you with another flagon. Give us your flagon. Straight imitation, British vodka, as before.
It's with talking in... talking in little high rabbit voices all day. To get under their skins.
So you've got rabbits now? I didn't know that.
Only two.
Well, you'll soon have some more. Here, one flagon.
Thank you, darling. Cheers.
Cheers.
They're called Rodney and Ruth. Is there some pink? This needs a bit of pink, I think. This drink.
Certainly. Let's have your glass. How do they go, rabbit voices? Could you do one for me?
Oh, I don't know. They're really private between me and the typewriter.
Couldn't you do one just for me? Pink vodka, as used in the Russian Navy.
Lovely. Cheers.
Cheers.
Which one shall I do, Ruth or Rodney?
Neither.
They both hurt. I'll do Rodney. I am Rodney Rabbit. Hello, who are you, little girl rabbit?
That is amazing.
Ruth's a bit higher. She goes, Hello, Rodney Rabbit. Have a bite of my carrot. I am Ruth Rabbit, but you can call me Ruthie if you... It chokes me up.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's the fur.
Can I have some lime in this flagon just to stay me with?
Of course, my darling. Give it here.
Oh, yes, please. Then I'll do you a goldfish.
Do you think you should? Let your veins go down.
They're more control toes, the goldfishes.
Not Gordon, I hope.
Only Gertrude. Gordon's a bit more...
You're not forgetting what I was saying about fish meets fish. Here, stay yourself with that.
Oh, good. Cheers. I don't think they do meet. They live in different ponds. It's a class thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think I should like some tonic in this.
Right, why not? As long as you keep them out of bed, not go back into your normal plot about sexy writers. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I know it's no business of mine, really.
Thank you, darling. Cheers. Oh, it is. It is. It is yours.
Mm-hmm.
I'll buy a slice of lemon.
Sorry?
Don't be. Just get me a slice of it.
By all means. No sooner said than sliced.
Fingers will do.
I was going to do fingers. No, it was working on my book that made me think about yours.
Just drop it in.
I was going to do that. Will that be all right now? Vodka, lime, tonic, lemon and pink?
Lovely. Thank you, darling.
Good. Now, to be honest, I'm having a bit of plot trouble, too. Now I've got to the inspector explains.
Back in Chapter 3, when he finds the severed head...
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Hubert's hedgehog manages a gas station.
Yes, now when he finds it...
Or perhaps a laundromat.
He cannot understand why... He can't understand why it's wearing a hat with somebody else's name in it.
I haven't got his voice yet, Hubert. I think he's going to be a bit croaky.
And of course, you know, the readers will want to know about that.
Not the readers. Stuff them. But if I don't know if it's croaky, you see? That's why I'm doing the voices between me and the typewriter privately.
If only I'd made a note about that hat at the time.
Charlie's going to wear a very little small hat with a feather in it. Charlie Chaffinch. Now, I am worried about his voice. People can check bird voices in books. And if I get Charlie saying, fweet, fweet, instead of katooky, katooky, but I think they say, actually, because I've looked it up, I'm really properly searching all this, properly researching it, they actually say, chip, 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 tell, 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 cherry, airy, airy, tissy, chee, wee, you. And that's a hell of a line of dialogue. I don't care who knows it. Darling?
Still here?
Just a minute. Yes! What this drink needs, I know now, is a bit of olive and a stuffed ice and just the tiniest smidgen of, I mean, hardly any of Worcestershire sauce.
What we had here was a whole new can of worms. I'd expected this literary project for the little ones to bounce off Miss Badminton like spit off a trivet. But it wasn't until a couple of mornings later that I realised how firmly she was hooked. I was down the garden in my author's secluded writing shack with my baffled inspector and a little music of yesteryear from the BBC wireless when old next-door Giebel came on the blower. Great surprise to me, even when I found out who it was. We potters live in one of those favoured residential areas where the residents favour keeping their distance. They never come on unless they want something, or water's pouring out of the side of your house and they're going to enjoy telling you.
But whose hat was it? Queried Mrs. Hunchley.
Yes, well, if we knew that. When the rat shake sheds her skin, you have no idea what a state she's in. And when she slithers down behind a rock, she's apt to give herself a nasty Now what's she after? Yes, my little sweetheart, I was just singing about you. Yes, darling. Now, come on, don't give me the heavy breathing.
It's Mr. Giebel.
No, really?
Mr. Giebel speaking.
Not old next door. Sorry, bad line, this. Not Mr. Giebel from next door. How very nice. How are you?
It's about the rabbits.
It would be, yes.
Say Friday morning.
Friday morning. Is that all right?
Come round the back.
Certainly.
I shan't be there.
Splendid.
She won't see much.
Quite enough, I expect.
She'll have to move the straw.
Well, of course, of course. Yeah. Is it Ruth and Rodney?
It's Mr. Gable speaking.
Gerald C. Potter here.
Who?
She's left the phone switched through, you see. I'm her husband, Mr. Potter. I write in a shed.
Well, if she come round the back, I shan't be there.
Is that Dr. Giddy? I was in the bathroom.
I should be round the post office.
Dr. Giddy, I only want to look at them.
I'm a senior citizen.
Just to see how their beaks
work. Pension Fridays.
Mrs. Giddy said that you... Who's that?
This is Gerald C. Potter here.
Get off the line. I'm speaking to Dr. Giddy.
Mr. Giebel speaking.
About the rabbits.
You left a message. You want to see them.
Oh, the rabbits, yes. I'm frightfully sorry. I'd no idea you were old next door.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed, Mr. Giebel.
When shall I come, then?
Can you manage Friday?
Oh, shut up.
He won't be there.
I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to him.
He's gone.
And whose fault's that? Keep out of it. If Dr. Giddy rings up about his ducks, don't answer.
Of course, what I think, darling, what did you say this was?
Rum barbar.
Not much rum.
I can taste it.
Well, perhaps I've got the barbar bit and you've got the rum bit.
They're only a TV snack.
But without the TV.
So is the cheese flan.
Oh, that was all right. I could taste the cheese.
Yes, well, I added some extra.
But nothing to this.
We hadn't any.
No, well, obviously they rely on that. I mean, people watching TV don't notice that they aren't eating anything but a cheese flan with no cheese. Or just a raw barbar.
You're spiky today.
No. Somebody should have spiked this, though. I mean, honestly, rum barbar. What they do is leave the barbar on a table next to a cupboard that once had some rum in it.
It's Quick, though.
I'll bet they don't leave it there a minute.
In the kitchen. I've got to get back to the book.
Ah, yes, yes, I understand that. In fact, I was just saying, getting back to the book. Here we go. Bye-bye, Baba. Excuse me. No, what I think is, you're getting too many characters in it.
Give me your plate.
Gladly. Keep them down, I always say.
I have written books before. Sauce bottle.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Doesn't the whole world know it? But not with...
How do you get sauce on the screw top?
But not five words to a page books.
This isn't one of those. They've changed since you were a boy. And they've had time. Mustard pot, please.
Now who's spiky today?
French mustard pot. This one is having whole proper pages. Plot, characterization, scene setting, descriptions of ducks. Oh, yes, blast you do that.
Besides, if we're going to have all the neighbours on the phone all the time, darling, I thought you'd keep them down to people you could study within our own four walls. Hedges. But now we're getting giddy ducks and gable rabbits. Diana!
If you've finished, get the secretary.
Oh, there you are. Well, you do see what I mean.
I'm not having the rat.
Good. What's this?
Cut it through and make an anti-rat collar for the bird table. Glasses, please.
Anti-rat collar?
It's vegetable strainer. You've got eyes.
I am not having the rat climbing up when I'm studying Charlie and Jerry Chaffinch. It wants cutting through and fitting round.
I shouldn't have thought of that.
Answer the phone.
What if it's Dr. Giddy?
What if it is? I'm in the fish pond.
Yes, I'm afraid it's just as you were saying, Potter. When a rattlesnake sheds her skin...
Things get slightly dodgy for the next of kin.
91921. I'm afraid so. I mean, yes, it is. Who? Of course, yes, I remember the vet. You got the coffee beans out of our cat's ears that time. No, I'm afraid she isn't really. She's in the fish pond. Ah, I see. Only ferrets. I will. I'll tell her as soon as she comes out. Comes back. Now, let's have a look at this.
Have you done the vegetable strainer?
Just going to.
Do it. He was up there this morning after the bird's bath. Cut it and fit it. I'm going to see Winnie Pilling's parrot. Get cutting.
Seems a pity to spoil it.
It never works anyway.
How is it supposed to? I mean, pre-rat.
I can't stand here shouting. I've been doing parrot voices. Stay there.
Oh, parrots now. That must be the finish. Unless she knows a friend with a giraffe.
20 minutes you've been out here. What's the hold-up?
I was wondering how it strained vegetables.
That is all in the past. It's for straining rats now. Give it to me.
All the same, I was wondering.
All right, if you're not going to do anything until I tell you, I'll tell you. Talk about a little charge will lead them.
Sorry?
If you must know, and you certainly needn't, these metal loops are supposed to fan out like this. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Then you put it in the bottom of the saucepan.
Oh, my goodness, yes, of course. Oh, why, simplicity itself. Fool that I am. Then we slam the lid on and we've got entrapped.
Fool that you are, nothing of the sort. We cut it through the middle ring bit with secateurs. You know what secateurs are?
I think so.
Good. Then we fix it halfway up the bird table. That's the bird table there. Do you recognise that?
I do, yes.
Yes, so that it fans out all round, and when he tries to climb past it, he falls out through the loops and thinks, the hell with it, all right?
Very clear indeed, thank you.
Take it then, get cutting, I've got to go. It's gone 7. It's nearly a parrot's bedtime.
She was restless that night and occasionally called out men's names. Charlie, she called out. Likewise, Barry and Gordon. Until finally, the dawn having dawned, she sat bolt upright, speaking parrot, and put the light on.
Oh, Gerald.
Mm?
Darling.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do something for me?
Of course. Absolutely anything.
Absolutely anything?
Certainly, you know I would. Within reason.
Darling, would you go and make some tea? Just give me a minute. And I'll come down and drink it.
Better?
A bit.
You'll be better still when you've written the blasted thing.
I'm not going to write the blasted thing.
Blast the thing? Say again.
You know Winnie Pilling?
Copy typist and parrot fancier, yes?
She's writing the blasted thing. She writes them all the time. Why are you wearing only one slipper?
Well, the other one's full of bread and milk. Diana.
Calls herself Begonia Bristow. Daft cow.
I trod in Hubert Hedgehog's supper last night.
She wouldn't take the cloth off the parrot until she'd read me one. She's got all my characters, plus a bloody tortoise and a sorry squirrel.
Oh, but never mind, never mind.
It's going to be a lovely morning. Look at the rat up the bird table eating on the vegetable strainer.
Distressing, very. I'm glad to say it didn't last. They make miracle recoveries, these lady novelists. I was only too happy at lunchtime to let her tell me the new plot that had come to her. The jet-set hero, not a writer for once, but what she called an orphanologist. And particularly as I'd got a nice early start in my writer's secluded chalet and suddenly saw how to explain to my inspector about the name in the severed head's hat. And it was so simple. It was beautiful, really. What had happened, you see, way back in chapter one, was that... Hey, just a minute, Potter. What do you think you're doing? Do you want to spoil it for them?